Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, June 21st, 2010. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Today, our show will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, Harnessing the Power of Your Vocal Impact, with my guest, Kate Pierce. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners. I am so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. I realize you have many other things you can do with your time, so I thank you for joining us. I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. If you're on the phone lines, press 1 to let me know you have a question or a comment. If you're over in the chat room, all you need to do is just type in your questions or your comments, and I'll be able to see them and read them on the air. Let me remind you that the show is live, so that means anything can happen. Lost signals is the most common thing that happens, and when that happens, you just need to dial in again at 347-539-5700, and you don't have to worry about missing anything because the recording keeps going no matter what. All the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes over on my show page. Now, if you enjoy the show, please don't keep it a secret. Tell other people about it by blogging about it or tweeting about it on Twitter. You can visit me over on Twitter, over on Facebook, LinkedIn, and all of those links are on my main website at coloryourlifehappy.com. Also, be sure to add me as a friend, or add yourself, rather, as a friend on my show. And that way I'll be able to verify all the wonderful people who share with me on Mondays. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a coach, an author, and inspirational speaker. I invite you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, because there you can learn about all the various programs I have available to help you choose happiness for your life. Now, while you're there, be sure to sign up for my free weekly newsletter. It goes right into your email. You don't have to do anything. It'll show up every 7 days. And then while you're there, you could click over, read my blog, and subscribe to it. That, too, would go into your email every week, and you don't have to look for it. And again, over there, connect with me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. You can see all of that on my homepage. Now, if you are in Los Angeles, California, or Orange County, California, and you are ready to come out of hiding and live your life to its fullest, I invite you to join my interactive meetup group where we meet face-to-face twice a month. The group is called From Overwhelmed to Overjoyed, Creating the Life You Want. We meet on the second and fourth Thursday nights at 6 p.m., and we meet in Orange County. You can find out the venue and all that information when you sign up for the group. So again, go to my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, and there you'll see how to sign up. Now, on the radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. To do that, each week I interview guests from various fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, all of the things that contribute to lasting happiness. Today, my guest is Kate Peters. Hi, Kate.
Hi there, Flora. How are you?
I am great. I am so happy you joined us. I want to tell my listeners a bit about you before we begin. Is that okay?
Great. Thanks very much.
Certainly. Kate Peters is a singer, actor, voice coach, speaker, and the author of Can You Hear Me Now? Harnessing the Power of Your Vocal Impact in 31 Days. Through her presentations, seminars, workshops, and private coaching, Kate helps executives, speakers, and performers find the strengths in their voices to better express themselves in their professional and personal lives. Now, you can find out more about Kate over in her blog, Kate's Voice, and during the interview, I'm going to ask Kate to give you even more detail about where to contact her. On the show today, we're going to be talking about our voices, and Kate believes that you are not stuck with the voice you have. As a child, you created your voice through imitation, and that creation is a work that's in progress for the rest of your life. So that is good news, that we can create voices now that support what we're doing, what we want to do, and unfortunately get rid of those that we thought we were stuck with. You can choose to have more vocal impact by applying a simple formula. We're going to be discussing that formula today during this interview. So, again, welcome, Kate.
Thank you so much, Flora. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with your listeners today.
Thank you. I think we should start right at the beginning because so many of us thought we were stuck with the voices that we were born with, and you say that's not true. So tell us, why is this human voice so remarkable? What makes it remarkable that we're able to do that?
Flora, yesterday morning I got a call from my daughter, and when I heard her voice, she didn't even have to say who she was. I knew who she was. I knew what she was thinking. I knew how she was feeling. And I'm sure many of us have had that experience. And we take it for granted, don't we?
Yes.
But it's actually one of the most amazing things about the human being is that we learn communication through imitation. We have to create a vocabulary of sounds that we can use to speak with each other, to get our point across, to share our ideas, our ideas and our thoughts, our hearts. And we are one of only three groups of mammals that have to do that. And those other mammals are whales and dolphins and bats, of all things.
Oh.
So that's the first thing that makes it remarkable to me. The second is that the voice can produce at least 325 different pitches, and with the exception of the eyes, there are more nerves in the muscles of the larynx than in any other muscles in the body. They're very sensitive.
Oh, my goodness.
They pick up things from our brain, from our emotions, and that is then revealed in our voice. And then another thing that makes it remarkable, and I could go on about this for a long, long time. I'm fascinated with the voice. But do you know that we use 3/4 of our body to produce a vocal sound? So
really?
Even a sprained ankle can affect the sound of your voice.
Wow. Oh.
So I know. It is remarkable, isn't it? And
yes, it's amazing because that means if you have an accident or something, you have a different voice when you're on your crutches or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. It's very true. And hopefully we're going to talk about that a little bit later as well. But the fact that the voice is both indicative of who we are and that it reveals so much about us is, I think, what makes it so remarkable. And it's something that most people do take for granted.
I want to go back to what you just, I'm still processing what you said about, you said 3/4 of the body?
Yes.
Is involved in our voice, in creating the sounds we make with our voices?
It is, in a vocal sound.
Wow.
So when I say hello to you, 3/4 of my body is helping me to create that sound.
Oh,
and it's
goodness.
It's the muscles, it's air, it's my brain, it's the nerves. All of these things come together to create that sound. And part of that is because the sounds that we create, the mechanisms that we use, were originally designed to be used for breathing and for eating.
Uh-huh.
And so our whole body is involved in that process, and that's still the case when we're speaking.
That makes me wonder, when you said that our bodies were designed for breathing and eating, does that mean that you think at first we weren't making sounds, or that we were making very, very primitive sounds?
Well,
if you think historically, cavemen or whatever.
Well, that it's sort of, that begs the question, doesn't it? And if we
yes.
had some kind of a recording system back then we would know. But
yes,
we know
yes.
that people communicated with each other, and we know that they did use sounds of some kind. I'm not a historian, so I can't tell you when actually that started happening. But I know that it takes a baby 2 years to learn to speak because it's not natural to us. It's something that we create for imitation. So you might ask, you know, how are voices created? How do we do that?
Yes, that was going to be my next question.
Wow, that's great. Well, we emulate others. As I said, you know, we have to learn communication sounds because those muscles were created for swallowing and breathing and eating. And so we learned to communicate. We wanted to communicate with each other, so at some point we did develop speaking. And similar uh-huh. to fingerprints, no two voices are exactly alike.
Uh-huh.
The thing is that we can create anything. So as you were growing up, you listened to your parents, you listened to your teachers, you listened to maybe an older sibling, a neighbor, and through that you created a way of speaking that either you liked or that served you well, or maybe both. And
uh-huh.
over time, that's you. When people hear your voice, they know who you are. That's you.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But the thing is that some people might create something that's not healthy or even something that's not pleasant to listen to.
Okay.
But still, we create something in order to simply communicate with each other.
Now, what makes a voice not healthy or a sound not healthy?
Well, it's how you use your voice. It's the pitch of a voice can have an impact on the health of the voice. But if you create a sound that either is fatiguing to the voice, just like the rest of your muscles, you can fatigue the muscles of your larynx. And if you create a sound that does that a lot, or you use your voice a lot in a way that isn't really a healthy approach, then all of those things wear and tear just as the rest of your body.
Huh. Now, what about when you talk about a vocal image? What is that?
Well, your vocal image is the perception others get of you from the sound of your voice. It's
uh-huh.
your identity. It's your personality that's displayed through your voice. But it's created through sound. And these sounds might include a rhythm, pattern, tone, air, and even physical sounds such as the clicking of your tongue and your lips. These all
uh-huh.
create an image. And just like in music, we use those sounds to create that perception and also to create our language and to create our emotions, whatever. That is what we've created, is the sound of all these different sounds coming together. And what happens, though, is that, as I said before, the voice is revelatory. It reveals things about you. And through that vocal image, through those sounds, people hear such things as your gender, which seems obvious, but, of course, isn't always. If you've
uh-huh.
ever been on the phone and you listen and say, is that a man or a woman speaking?
Uh-huh.
That's that we're listening for that gender. And, in fact, we are listening for the first 30 seconds that someone speaks. We're listening to try to determine who are they, what are they thinking, what are they feeling, and to make some kind of a decision about who that person is, whether we trust them or not, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But besides your gender, you can hear in someone's voice where you've lived, your
mm-hmm.
emotions, your education, your social status, and many other things.
Huh.
And it also can reveal things that you may not be aware of, such as your intention. Yeah. It's been shown, Flora, that babies as young as 6 months of age can hear intention in a person's voice. Now, that's very young. They're
uh-huh.
not even displaying language, and
uh-huh.
yet they can hear intention in a person's voice.
That makes me wonder if, when a baby cries, you speak to a baby, and the baby starts crying, even though the words you're speaking may be positive words or okay or neutral or whatever, and the baby reacts. Sometimes I'm thinking now the baby is picking up on your intention. Yes. You know, in addition to the, it's beyond the words you're saying.
Yeah, and it may not be a bad intention even. It could be something like, you know, well, I'm uncomfortable holding a baby.
Yes.
You know, that could
reflect. Goodness.
Or something right. such as, well, I'll, you know, I'll hold the baby for a second, but then I need to get on to something else. Isn't she cute? Whereas the baby is looking for someone to feel safe with who's going to hold them for a while. And you know, that simply something as basic as that could have an effect
wow.
on the sound of your voice.
Oh, my goodness. I had a question about, oh, when you said perception, that the vocal image is about perception others get about you,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that there must be kind of a consensus, an unspoken consensus we have about vocal image, because, for example, one person's voice may tell most of us that they are friendly.
Yes.
And so there must be some kind of range or something that we kind of, as a culture, have kind of decided is friendly. Is that true?
Well, that's true. There are speech patterns that we recognize as friendly or authoritative or demanding uh-huh. or weak or strong, and they do have to do with that vocal image. They have to do with patterns that we develop that are cultural, maybe geographical. I said you can hear a person's where they live in their voice. And for example, let's talk about friendly. What makes a person's voice
yes.
sound friendly? There are
okay.
aspects of vocal image that have to do, as I said, with similar patterns in music. Cadence is a pattern that we discuss in music a lot. And cadence
uh-huh.
means how you end a sound or how you
okay.
end a phrase. It's usually a musical phrase, or it could be just the overall inflection. And
uh-huh.
so we would talk about the cadence of a person's voice being possibly open or closed. And
uh-huh.
the open cadence is one that goes up at the end. One of my clients calls it upspeak. And it
uh-huh.
sounds like this. It's how are you, Flora? What's
uh-huh.
your day like today? That is upspeak. That's the open-ended cadence. And when
uh-huh.
we hear a person speak whose voice is filled with lots of that open-ended sound, or when they have a lot of variety in their voice like this, we
uh-huh.
think of them as friendly. That translates
oh.
as open and inviting.
Okay.
On the other hand, if a person has a cadence that always goes down or that's
uh-huh.
flat, we think of that person as more closed, or we often think of them as being more powerful, more make a definitive statement. Now, what's
uh-huh.
interesting about that, Flora, is that we also equate those ways of speaking with gender. And women's speech patterns tend to be more open than men's.
Okay.
Men's speech patterns tend to be more closed. And so when men and women are communicating with each other, there can be a confusion in the way that they communicate, which we all know. We all know that. But it could simply be because of that cadence in the sound. And effective communicators learn to use both when they speak.
Okay. So that means that there are things that we can learn and train ourselves to do that will help better communicate what we really feel and mean.
Absolutely.
So that we aren't sending the wrong messages.
Absolutely. It's so true.
I wanted to get back to, after you talked about perception, to credibility. Can you judge a person's credibility? You talked about a baby being able to pick up on intention. Can we as adults judge a person's credibility by the sound of the voice?
Absolutely.
Oh.
And what I like to talk about in that regard is what I call my secret formula. It's my little formula for how you understand if you are credible to another person. And basically, if your intention doesn't align with your message and your voice, you will not sound credible to others. So I'll say that again. If your intention does not align with your message and your voice, the sound of your voice, you will not sound credible to others. In my voice training for public speaking, for example, I work with that formula, and this is the way I discuss it. In order to have the maximum impact in your communication with others, you have to know what your intention is first. So going into any presentation, conversation, meeting, lunch, whatever, if you are trying to have impact as a communicator, you must know what your intention is. As we said, people will pick it up anyway. So it's more powerful for you to know what it is and be focused on that so that you have that control over the situation. And then you must align your intention with your message, with your conversation, with what you have to say, with your content. So, for example, you have you're giving a presentation, and most people focus on what the words are, the message. You know, they make sure their PowerPoint is great and all the bullet points are lined up, and they practice what they're going to say, or they write a speech and they make sure they've got all their bullet points and the good opening and closing and all that's in there. But what if their intention going into a presentation is to get out of there as fast as they can? What if that's really the intention? They think their intention is to go in there and do a good presentation, but in the back of their mind they're thinking, man, I really don't want to be here. You know, I'm hungry, I want to go get some lunch, or my kid's sick and I got called and so I have to get this over with as fast as I can. Well, then people are going to pick up that there's something else going on there.
Right, okay.
And so therefore, the intention is not aligned with the content. And then how does that affect the sound of your voice? Well, as I said, your intention shows in your voice, your emotional state, your education, so many things show in that. Mm-hmm. Your hesitation could show in your voice. Your intention to get out of the room will show how. Well, maybe you'll speak more quickly. Maybe you'll be sighing a lot. I mean, who knows? But it will show up. But even if you don't know how it shows up.
That would be pretty sad during a presentation if you're sighing a lot.
I know, it's true. But, it happens. I've heard some pretty weird things in presentations. Mm. But, you know, it really does happen that way, though, and we don't think about this enough. There was a study done in recently that showed that doctors – in a doctor-patient conversation, we could determine if a doctor had been in a malpractice suit or not, simply listening to that conversation.
Really?
Now, that does seem remarkable, doesn't it? And you go,
yes,
possible. But it is possible. It was shown to be the case. We know that in a study done in the 30s, we could hear a person's occupation in their voice. There were recordings made of a group of workers, and people could identify what their job was based on their voice. So it's not at all out of line to assume that when you go into a presentation, people will hear things about you that you don't necessarily want them to hear. So you have more power in that situation if you think of your intention ahead and if you have practiced your speech with the idea of conveying the message with the sound of your voice, not just with the words.
So I want to ask a question about, get back to intention. So when you're speaking intention, you're talking about the impact, our intended impact we want to have on the audience. Or, you know, how do you determine intention?
Well,
because, for example, I'm going to be speaking, matter of fact, Sunday to a church group for Women's Day. And when you say intention, I know my topic, I know the scriptural reference. What would intention be in terms of how I prepare?
Well, why are you going in there?
Because I was invited to motivate and encourage these women for Women's Day.
So your intention is to motivate and encourage these women?
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
So that's your intention. Now, that day, think it through. Is there any other reason that you're going there? Is it because you want to have more speaking engagements come out of that? Or because there's somebody who's going to be listening who's particularly important to you.
Yes, I was invited by an old friend, so I want to do this for her because she invited me. And yes, and I want to inspire them too, not just to me, motivate and inspire a little different. So I want to inspire them as women to embrace their greatness. And yes, I have a lot of intention in there that I want to carry.
Exactly. Yeah. And what are you hoping to accomplish with this? You want to motivate them. Do you want to? Is there a call to action? Is there something that would be important for them to take away and do?
Yes, I want them to not take for granted their greatness and to recognize it, embrace it, and use it to go after their goals.
So you want them
to
go after their goals?
Or any of them that are hesitating to do that. Hmm?
Right, you want them to go after their goals.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the way I would look at it. You have an intention to go in and motivate and inspire them. An old friend has invited you, so you'd like her to be happy that you were there, I'm sure.
Oh,
and
yes.
You're looking forward to seeing her. And you'd like these women to go away with the idea that they could do something in their lives different, possibly. Is that true?
Right.
Okay.
Yes, and if they've been hesitating, I want them to jump on it immediately after I speak and start after their goals.
That's great. So you actually do want them to do something. You have an action that you'd like them to take. So let's use my formula then. So your intention to motivate and to inspire means that you have to look at your content and make sure that your content is motivating and inspiring.
Okay.
And because you have a call to action for them, you got to make sure that your content calls out that call to action. Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure that you acknowledge your friend.
Okay.
So you see how that helps you to build your content to make sure you accomplish what you're there to do.
Yes.
But now let's look at your voice. So if we simply take the idea of cadence that we just spoke about, and we're talking about open and closed cadence, if we simply take that and we say, all right, you want to sound friendly when you're talking about your friend.
Yes.
Right? So,
yes.
And what's your friend's name?
Just went out of my head. Jackie.
Jackie.
Okay. Jackie is my friend.
So when you talk to Jackie, and you address her or introduce her to the crowd or whatever, you say, and I'm here today because my dear friend Jackie invited me here.
Yes.
Instead of, and I'm here today because my good friend Jackie invited me. You see the difference in the sound?
That doesn't sound very friendly.
No, it doesn't. And,
that second
and so
one. Okay.
Some people, you know, when they're speaking, they would listen to that, and obviously they'd say, oh, yeah, well, I get that. But do you listen to yourself when you're speaking?
Mm.
Do you hear yourself saying things at times in a tone of voice that really doesn't convey the message that you want to convey? And that's where you have to start, listening to yourself, but plan it into your speech. Then let's go on to the part where you are wanting to motivate them. Well, I would mix up that open and closed cadence. I would, whatever you're saying, I want you all to listen today, and I hope you will take away something that will touch your heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's a definitive statement. That's something you want to do. But if you say to them, how are you feeling today? Is this a good day for you? That's an open-ended sound. And that invites them to listen, even to participate. They might want to say something back to you.
Yes.
But it invites them to come in, join the conversation, it invites them to review what you're saying and chew it around and think about it some more and study it from their perspective. But then when you want them to have a call to action, when you want them to take that call to action, rather, and run with it, then you say, and today, right now, I want you to take this one thought and learn and think about how you can implement it in your life, and I want you to do that first thing when you leave this room.
Oh, so the close cadence is for action. And the open cadence is open. It's inviting them in, which gets their attention
and gets them
engaged.
Yes, that is a big part of it. The open-ended cadence is one that invites conversation. However, you have to be careful how much you use it.
Right.
Because
okay.
It also can make you sound kind of flaky. If all you have
okay.
is open-ended cadence, if you just keep going on and on and on, or you use fillers, the perfect way that to exemplify open-ended cadence is never to finish a thought or an idea or a sentence.
Oh, my goodness.
And a lot of people do that. In fact, there's the California accent is very open-ended. It sounds
all
like
right.
we don't finish our ideas very much. So we say, hi, how are you today? It's a great day. I had an experience of that recently in Boston. My daughter's going to college there, and we were ordering at a restaurant, and she said, I think I'll have the swordfish. And the waitress stood there and looked at her for a good beat. You know, it felt like forever, and the waitress finally said, and what else? And my daughter looked at her so surprised and said, no, I'll have the swordfish. but the woman
she didn't sound sure at first.
Yeah, she wasn't finished. You know, the woman thought
yes.
she was finished. Whereas when I listened to the other people in the room ordering, they'd say, "I want the swordfish. I'll take the.
Right.
I'll take some tea. I want the swordfish. I want the salad." Everything was closed-ended. Well, that's a northeastern accent, and to our California ears, we might think that people in the Northeast are not very friendly. But they may think that we're flaky because we can never make up our minds about anything to their ears, you know? And that's how that cadence works. So if you want to use a closed-ended cadence effectively, know that it's a great thing to do when you want to make a definitive statement. It's also a tool to use when you want to close a conversation. For example, in sales, one of the problems that people have in sales is that they will keep open-ended the whole time and never make what sounds like a definitive statement, even if they say, so that's my presentation, or well, that's my presentation, and people don't hear it as a close.
A close, right. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so you need to use a or what my client calls downspeak when you want to close a sale. Use that closed cadence. And
that's very useful for salesmen to know this.
Yes, yeah, it's helpful. And for women to know to use it, because women tend not to use it as much in their conversations. But women don't tend to interrupt each other as much as men.
Oh, really?
So we can get away with a more open cadence in our speak. In our speech, because we will not be as apt to interrupt each other.
Interrupt.
But men use a definitive statement, and yet they still interrupt each other all over the place. So one of the things that happens in a conference call is that women feel like, gosh, I couldn't get a word in edgewise when they're speaking with men. And then men think, well, she didn't have anything, you know, she never finished her thoughts.
It sounds like this is information that we really need, and that we could possibly sabotage our own success or our happiness with our voices. Is this true?
Absolutely. You know, you may have, of course, if you get your order wrong in a restaurant, that's, you know, that's already sabotaging your success. But there are other situations, such as not being clear about your intention, which makes you be seen as less credible, or you have trouble making a point in an important meeting. So it is really important to know that your voice gives an impression or perception of who you are, what you do, and so many other things, and that you will have more impact if you're aware of how your voice is coming across to others.
Uh-huh.
Because if you don't like how you come across to others, you can absolutely change your voice to more fully support who you are and what you have to say.
Wow, that's amazing. Before I forget, I want you to give contact information, because I would imagine that people are thinking right now, how can I get a hold of her and get some help for my voice? What's your contact information, Kate?
Well, I certainly hope they are thinking that, because I absolutely love working with people's voices and seeing how that can transform people. And probably the easiest and best way for your audience to find me is on my blog. and my website. My website is www.katepeters.com, KatePeters.com. And if you just do /blog. So KatePeters.com/blog, and you'll get to my blog, Kate's Voice. And there's a contact form on my blog. So I welcome you to just go right to the contact form on my blog and send me a note, and then I will get back to you right away. I also have a phone number that you can call, and that is 714-777-9231.
Okay. And tell the services that you offer so that people are aware of how you can help.
I work with individuals one-on-one. I do executive coaching to work on presentation skills from the standpoint of their voice. And that is vocal image work, so I help people figure out how their voice is showing up to other people and how they can change that to be more of what they want to be seen as. And so that's one thing that I do is executive training one-on-one. I, of course, do singing. I teach singing, and I've done that for many, many years. I also work in groups with people, workshops. I work with to repair voices as well. So some people's voices become damaged over time, and I work sometimes with a laryngologist, but sometimes on my own to help people to repair their voices. I also work with executive groups on such things as earning calls or presentations, important presentations. I will work with people ahead of time to make sure that they align their content with their intention and the sound of their voice and give them exercises to make that more effective. And then I'll also evaluate that afterwards to figure out what they could do differently the next time around. So that gives you kind of an idea of how I might work with different people. I do seminars and workshops occasionally, a webinar. So if you keep in touch with me via my blog, become a subscriber of my blog, then you will know about all of those things as they come up.
Oh, great. So the ideal thing to do is to go over to your blog and subscribe. That way you will be informed. Okay.
That would be great. And also, I do have a book, as you mentioned, and that book is Can You Hear Me Now? And it is really a self-guided program that helps you to be more aware of how you're using voice. I give you exercises, and then some of those exercises have audio files that are available on my website.
Oh, okay.
And that
now the book's available on Amazon and all the major booksellers.
Yeah, it's available on about 40 different online retailers, and it's also available on my website.
Okay, okay. So, and I think there's a picture of your book, a link over on the show page. That was my intent.
Great.
So people can see it there.
What's
the most common?
Okay, it's a fun picture on the front.
What's the most common problem people have with their voices? We've talked about a number of things. What's the most common one?
The most common problem is that people speak too low.
Oh,
and
really?
Some, you know, people think, oh, well, you know, maybe most people, I think, would assume that the most common problem, if you're talking about pitch, would be that people speak too high.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually that people speak too low, and I think it's because they're afraid of sounding shrill or whiny, or maybe because they're talking on the phone a lot and they're hunched over in their chair, so they don't have a lot of air or energy in their voice. And also it could be because many people think that a low voice is a powerful voice. But whatever it is, you can have a voice that's too low, many people do, and then it becomes fatigued easily, gets hoarse or raspy, or if you've ever had the feeling at the end of the day that your voice just hurts, That's a result of vocal fatigue. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd love to give your listeners a little exercise that they can work with.
Okay.
You have to do it with me. It's a funny little exercise.
So I get to be the guinea pig. Okay.
Yes, please.
I'm game. Let's go.
Good. Okay. So what you do is you have to find the right pitch for your particular voice. And if you're a musician, it's for women, it's somewhere between middle C and E for the average voice.
Mm-hmm.
Some are lower, some are higher, but for most, it's right in there. And for men, it would be an octave lower than that. But the way you find it is you say, Yeah. And
like something is good to taste?
Yeah. Mm. And say, Now, where you said that, your voice automatically gravitates toward a place that's easy to produce and that resonates in the front of your face. So say the again. Put your fingers right above your upper lip on your face.
Okay.
And see if you can feel a vibration there.
Wait, right above my lip or on
yeah.
my lip?
Right
okay.
above your lip. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
You feel a little buzz
there. I can
feel
the vibration, yeah, a little buzz.
Okay. So that pitch that you created is, and I'm saying it's an average pitch. It's not like you just speak in that one tone. But you
sure.
make that your focus for the sound, and the vibration is also the focus for the resonance of the sound. That is, the sound reverberates somewhere, and we want it to reverberate in the front of the face. So if,
oh.
the way you practice it is you say, one, two, three.
Three, okay.
Okay, try that.
One, two, three.
Good. Now say, my name is Flora.
My name is Flora.
Now that was great. That's where you should be speaking most of the time.
Okay, I think I'm speaking lower than that most
yes,
of the time.
Yes, you are. And that's what happens with most people. Now, notice I didn't say, my name is Flora. So that would be way too high, right?
Right,
but
right, right.
I'm not talking about a pitch that's really high. But I am talking about a pitch and a placement for the sound, a resonance for the sound that is higher than most people are speaking and that resonates in the front of the face. And if you practice that when you're practicing your presentations, when you warm up for your presentations to do a little one, two, and then say the first line of your presentation or the first part of it, and from time to time as you practice, say in the middle of it just to make sure you're still in the right place and that the sound is
okay.
in the front of your face.
Huh. Okay. Got to work on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the that's the way that we go about changing is to practice that, finding that middle C between for women, C and E, is that
That's one thing that you can do. There's many things.
Okay.
And if you look at my blog, you'll see all kinds of tips and techniques as well as in my voice for how you can change your voice. You first, though, have to become aware of it. You have to know how it sounds. So you record yourself, you listen to it, even if you hate the way you sound on a recording, and you evaluate what you hear. And then you experiment with different sounds until you start to like what you hear. And then you practice using your voice in that way. And, of course,
okay.
I do recommend working with a voice professional because somebody else's ears are trained to listen in a different way. They can hear things that you can't hear.
Right. Okay.
But you can do some of it on your own. And, in fact, if you don't know your voice, it's hard to change it, even if somebody else is telling you how to change it.
Oh, so you do have to become aware of it yourself.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Exactly. We have about 1 minute left of the show. I can't believe it. Could you give us, I know you have a bunch of tips, could you give us three tips that can help anyone have a better voice?
I would love to do
as
that.
As we close down?
I have a post on my blog called 10 Ways to Love Your Voice, and I'll give you three of those. First, warm up your voice by saying a few sweet nothings. Warming it up isn't just for singers. So you do a little lip trill, a tongue trill, that little The second is embrace hydration. Drink a lot of water. Moisture is good for your voice. And finally, kiss but don't yell. Yelling or screaming is bad for your voice. It puts a lot of stress on your cords. And your voice is you. Take good care of it.
Wow. That's very important. Thank you so very much for being here today.
Thank you.
As we near the end of the show, I urge all of you who've been online, thank you all of you over in the chat room, and then some, Chris, Emmy, and Gloric, I think, is the name. I thank you for being over there, and I thank you callers who called in. I want you to rush over to katepeters.com/blog and be sure to sign up for her blog there. And then I want you to join me next week, June 24th is a Thursday. June 28th is my next show. It's going to be exciting and inspiring, so come on over and join me then. In the meantime, remember to visit www.coloryourlifehappy.com, and remember to also have a beautiful rest of the day coloring your life happy. Bye now.
Color your life happy.